All right, we're continuing our study of the Kings. Pull out your chart from the ESV Study Bible found on page 702 in the adult version and 520 what? 522 in the teen version. David, King of Judah. David, King of Judah. On the left-hand column, it's right after the word lament for Saul. Write down 1010 B.C. Write down 1010 B.C. Okay, I'll get it off. 1010 B.C. Okay? My nose produces the same stuff everyone else does. All right? That's all their sleeves. Let's move to the second column. This is where I made a mistake yesterday. Where it says division of the kingdom. Division of the kingdom. You need to have the date 931 written down. 931. That was a mistake from yesterday. Make sure you get that down. 931. 931. Okay, above that line, you'll notice the death of Solomon. So we're moving from the inauguration of the Davidic kingship in 1010 B.C. to the end of Solomon's reign in 931. With your pen, underline the name Jeroboam, Boab, and Rehoboam. All right? So the death, see it right there? Jeroboam. See, men of God, Judah warns Jeroboam. And then the death of Jeroboam. And then you see reign of Rehoboam. So Jeroboam is the king that attempts to take Israel, and Rehoboam is the king that takes Judah. Rehoboam is whose son?
Solomon.
Solomon. Okay, you need to make sure that you remember that. All right, that's all I have for you for the chart. Let's look at the next handout I gave you from the, looks like this, also from the ESV Study Bible. Looks like this. It has two columns on it, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. The kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. All right, look at the color coding. Look at the color coding. The darkest color is our good kings. Then we have a medium color that's a little bit difficult to distinguish. And then we have the lightest color, which is a bad king. So let me find this in the Study Bible so I can make sure I get the coloring right for you. All right, students, it looks like this. It looks like this. And it's found on 1 Kings 15. Look at 1 Kings 15 if you have a study team study Bible. What is it?
466.
Okay. All you need to know on this chart is the good kings. That's what I want to bring to your attention. The kings that have a positive reputation. On the Israelite side, it's J-E-H-U. Now know this. The rest of them are all classified as evil kings. What do you think their primary sin is going to be, Ty?
Women.
What's that?
Women?
No.
Idolatry.
Idolatry will be the primary sin. All right, now on the Judah side, we have four that have a reputation of being good kings. You should be able to see it fairly well. It's Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah.
Sounds like a good name.
Right. Hezekiah is known for what? Hezekiah is known for what? And it's worthy of a Mountain Dew if anyone here knows what Hezekiah is most known for. All right, that's no one. Okay. Josiah. Josiah. What is Josiah most known for? Ty.
Taking throne, being king when he was like young.
Yes, boy king. Absolutely. Known for being a boy king and establishing the reforms of his grandfather, that being Hezekiah. All right, Hezekiah is most known for asking the Lord for an extension on his life.
Oh, yeah.
He asked the Lord for an extension on his life, and he gets it. Okay, so that's all I wanted to draw to your attention on this chart right here. Now let's look at our third handout that I gave you. And this is about the life of Solomon. The life of Solomon. Justin, do you have it? All right, start reading, please. Nice and loud.
The third king over Israel, the second son of David, Bathsheba, who reigned over some 40 years. His alternative name was Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Accession to the throne. Once Amnon and Absalom were no longer in competition for the throne, the two most likely remaining candidates were Solomon and Adonijah. Although the kingship has been absurd to the former. You're the end of David's life.
All right, who's the former?
David.
No, the former would have been Solomon. So Solomon was promised it. All right, keep reading.
At the end of David's life, Adonijah contested the choice of Solomon and took steps to become king. With the help of Joab, general of the army, and Abiathar as priest, he was proclaimed the monarch. Solomon was not invited, neither were Nathan the prophet and Benaiah of the mighty men. Nathan brought word of this plot to Bathsheba, who in turn quizzed David as to his intentions. David then ordered Solomon to be proclaimed Israel over Israel, king over Israel. He was anointed by Zadok amidst the blowing of the trumpet and the shout of the people, long live King Solomon. Adonijah realized his claim had collapsed and asked for mercy, promising to be faithful to the new king.
All right, so let's pause and turn to 1 Kings. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Mr. Kaiser, are you able to read?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so we open with 1 Kings, verse 1. 1 Kings, verse 1. Mr. Tyler, let's get to this. All right, Peter, waiting on him to find it. Got it? Nice and loud.
Now King David was old and advanced in years, and although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servant said to him, "Let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms that the lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not.
All right, what does it mean by the king Miles didn't know her?
They haven't been
intimate.
Yeah.
Been intimate. All right, very good. Pick it up there, Jacob.
Now, the son of Haggai exalted himself, saying, "I will be king," and prepared for himself.
Okay, the son of Haggai. Now, is that going to be a male or a female?
Male?
No, because this is a son of who?
Oh.
David. Right, this is a son of David. So who's that going to be?
His mother.
His mom.
What?
That's the... Why are we... We know that David has multiple wives.
Wives.
Wives. Multiple wives. So with multiple wives and all having sons, what's going to be the issue?
Who's really king?
Yeah, who's the next king? Because David's already had intimacy with Bathsheba and had who? Solomon, but he doesn't stop there. Bathsheba's not the first wife. He's already had Amon. He's already had others. Absalom. So now we pick up this one. Keep reading.
And he prepared for himself chariots and horses, 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, "Why have you done this?" And so, he was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah and helped him. But Zadok, the priest of Benaiah, the son of Jehaniah, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, David's mighty men, were not with Adonijah.
All right, what were David's mighty men? Does anyone remember what David's mighty men were? What was that all about? How would you describe David's mighty men in the terms of the 21st century? Tosh.
A little band of mercenaries that also...
But you're not describing in the 21st century. I'm asking you to use 21st century descriptions.
Men who were loyal.
Yeah, they were. But what would be the equivalent of that today?
A platoon.
A platoon? 300 men in a platoon?
Oh, shoot.
What Call of Duty program are you playing? Because I know you're not in the Army. It's the equivalent of the Secret Service. What did the Secret Service do?
Protect the president.
Right. That's what David's mighty men did. That's what David's mighty men did. They were committed to protecting what?
David.
So now, if you've got some of David's mighty men following this guy, what does that seem to communicate? What? But David, they're done with David. So if they're now following this son, what does that seem to communicate?
That he needs to be protected to be the successor of the throne.
Okay, China? Yeah, that he's going to be the next king, and that David must be behind this, because if David's mighty men are behind this, And their first loyalty is to who?
David.
And they're not abandoning David because David is now what?
Old.
Yeah, how old?
Very.
Advanced in years.
Yeah, so old that he can't even stay warm, so much so that they need to bring a young woman to help keep him warm. So he's on his deathbed. Okay? Pick it up and keep reading, please.
Let's see here.
Verse 9.
Yes, sir. Adonijah set 5 sheep, oxen, and fattened cattle on a separate stone, which is beside Enrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan, the prophet, or Benaiah, or the mighty men of Solomon, or his brother, or Solomon's brother.
So there's 4 people that weren't invited there. Nathan, Solomon's brother, Benaiah, or the mighty men. So what single word would we describe this as?
Coup.
A coup? A what? Yeah, this is a conspiracy. To do what?
Overthrow the king.
Right.
Or to usurp the authority by setting yourself up as king. All right, keep reading.
Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, have you not heard that A.D. the son Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? Now therefore, let me give you advice, that you may serve your own life.
No, not serve.
That you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go in at once to King David and say to him, Did you not, my lord, the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is it Adonijah. Then while you are still speaking with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went to the king in his chamber. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was attending to the king. Bathsheba bowed and paid homage to the king. And the king said, what do you desire? She said to him, my lord, you swore to your servant, but the Lord your God, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord, the king, did not know it. And he has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant he has not invited. And now, my lord, the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, to tell him who shall sit in the throne of my lord, the king, after him. Otherwise it will come to pass when my lord the king speaks with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon will be cast to defenders.
Alright, good. So that, and then the next paragraph is Nathan coming in. Excellent. Let's pick it up at 28. Who can pick it up? Justin, pick it up. 28.
King David answered, call Bathsheba to me. So she came to the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so will I do this day. And Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, may my lord King David live forever. King David said, call to me Zoadah, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. So they came before the king, and the king said to them, take with you the servants of your lord, and have Solomon my son ride up on my own mule and put him on the Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place. And I have anointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king, amen. May the Lord, the God of my lord the king, say, as the Lord has been with my lord the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelahites, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, and brought him to Gihon. There Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished feasting. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, what does this uproar in the city mean? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan the son of Abiathar the priest came. Then Adonijah said, come in, for you are a worthy man and bring great good news. Jonathan answered Adonijah, no, for our lord King David has made Solomon king, and the king has sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada. and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And they had him ride on the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet had anointed him king of Abihon. And they had gone up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise that you have heard. Solomon sits on the royal throne. Moreover, the king's servant came to congratulate our Lord, King David, saying, may your God make the son name of Solomon from famous, more famous than yours, and make his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. And the king also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted someone to sit on my throne this day, my own eyes see him. And all the guests of Adonijah trembled and rose, and each one his own way. And Adonijah feared Solomon.
All right, stop. That's enough. Okay, so why does he now fear Solomon, Ty?
Because Solomon knew that Adonijah wanted to take the throne, but yes. Now Solomon's king, so he can pass judgment as he wants.
Okay, let's turn over to chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Okay, who should read? Jack, can you read loud enough to be heard on the mic?
Yes, sir.
Nice and loud.
When Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm, it's got to go up. You got to volume it. You got to deep down, get it from the socks and read it like that. All right, do it.
That Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba.
Okay, did anyone notice a change in his volume at all? Not a bit. Jack, I need you to reach down and grab it and read it.
Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith.
Alright. Mr. Kaiser. No, you look pitiful. Yeah. That's your Bible in your mouth. He's a good reader. You're pitiful. Yeah. Nice. Nice and loud. Pick up chapter 2, verse 13. Wow, read it like you mean it.
Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, do you come peacefully? He said, peacefully. Then he said, I have something to say to you. She said, speak. He said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel fully expected me to reign. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I have one request to make of you. Do not refuse me. She said to him, speak. And he said, please ask King Solomon, he will not refuse you, to give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as my wife.
Okay, who is this woman now he's asking for? Who's he asking for here?
His dad's
what? Space. Yeah. That's a good, great description. All right, how is she characterized?
Beautiful young.
She's a what? How is she characterized? What adjectives best describe her? She's a virgin. Yes. She's what?
Damsel.
What else?
Young.
Young. What else?
Beautiful.
Stunning. Stunning. And she's a maid.
No, pretty good.
Fireworks.
Yeah. She's what?
She has nice eyes.
Okay, so this is she has nice eyes, right. He is asking for her. All right, keep reading.
Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him on behalf of Adonijah, and the king rose to meet her and bowed down to her. Then he sat on his throne and had a seat brought for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, make your request, my mother, for I will not refuse you. She said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, as his wife. King Solomon answered his mother, and why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, and on his side are Abiathar the priest and Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if this word does not cost Adonijah his life. And therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and placed me on the throne of David my father, who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died.
Got it?
Oh,
wow, just like that. Okay? Guy is not the woman.
No, just for asking for a wife?
Yeah. Not the woman. Just like that. Done.
Brother.
Wait, what?
Why?
Because he's a usurper of the king's authority.
And
he's a potential threat. And if he gets the wife or the last woman that was with David, it reinforces his potential bid for the office. Solomon has to establish his rule as the monarch, as the sovereign. How do you take care of your competition?
And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, "Go to Anath, to your state, for you deserve death. But I will not at this time put you to death, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because you shared in all my father's affliction." So Solomon expelled Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, thus fulfilling the word of the Lord that he had spoken concerning the house of Eli and Shiloh. When the news came...
Now that says, thus fulfilling a what? The word that he spoke to Eli. Remember Eli? Eli had those two boys. You remember that?
Yes.
And they died?
Yes.
And that's the end. Okay? How did that lineage continue? Because those two boys died, but who was pregnant and how did it continue? What was his name?
Ichabod.
Ichabod. And what did Ichabod mean?
Glory.
Right. So there's still a lineage, but it's coming to an end right now. Keep reading.
When the news came to Joab, for Joab had supported Ahijah, although he had not supported Absalom, Joab fled to the tent of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar.
Okay, the horns of the altar. So they got this giant altar in the temple complex, in the tabernacle temple complex. Try to give you like a 3D idea. All right, and this is where they throw the bulls and the sheep on there. This has got a grate like this. And then there's a box that they can pull the ashes out. You all picture what I'm talking about? And this is a giant fire, always going, creating incense. On every corner, there were horns, like a bull's horn. And he runs down there, and he grabs a hold of that, and he's got that. Now, what is he thinking? Like, this is a place of what?
Safety, refuge.
Surely they wouldn't kill me here. All right, keep reading.
And when it was told King Solomon, Joab has fled to the tent of the Lord, and behold, he is beside the altar. Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go strike him down." So Benaiah came to the tent of the Lord and said to him, "The king commands, come out." But he said, "No, I will die here." Then Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." The king replied to him, "Do as he has said, strike him down and bury him, and thus take away from me and from my father's house the guilt for the blood that Joab shed without cause. The Lord will bring back his lay deeds on his own head, because without the knowledge of my father David, he attacked and killed with the sword two men, more righteous and better than himself. Abner, the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood come back on the head of Joab and on the head of his descendants forever. But for David and for his descendants and for his house and for his throne, there shall be peace from the Lord forevermore." Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and struck him down and put him to death. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. The king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army in place of Joab. And the king put Zadok, the priest, in place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and summoned Shimonath and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there to any place whatever. For on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall die. Your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimonai said to the king, "What you say is good, as the Lord the king has said. So your servant will be." So Shimonai lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of Shimonai's servants ran away to Ashdod, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And when it was told to Shimonai, "Behold, your servants are in Gath," Shimonai arose and saddled a donkey and went to Gath to Ashdod to seek his servants. Shimonai went and brought his servants from Gath, and Solomon was told that Shimonai had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and returned. The king sent and summoned Shimonai and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out and go to any place, whatever, you shall die? And you said to me, what you say is good, I will obey. Why then have you not kept your oath to the Lord and the commandment which I commanded you?" The king also said to Shimonai, "You know in your own heart all the harm that you did to David my father. So the Lord will bring back your harm on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." Then the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck down, and he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon.
All right, so what is Saul doing here?
Exterminating any potential threat.
That's exactly what he's doing, Ty. He is eliminating any threats to the throne. In quick, short order, anybody who showed previous loyalty to anybody but him died.
Gotta die. It's not a political party. We ain't voting on anybody. I'm the king. You must be loyal to me first and foremost. And this guy right here is his executioner right here. Benaiah there, he is the man. And he just goes around striking them down. All right, let's go back to your handout, please. Yes.
David cannot be successful if he gets much blood in his hand. Because
he's not doing it.
He's not killing.
Yep. David is literally. Remember, David starts it right off the bat with Goliath. And after that, it's 100 Philistines. Okay? 100 Philistines to get his first wife. You remember that? He personally kills. Not much different than the Native Americans who would take a, what was it called? Scalp, right. Almost identical idea. Okay? As a war trophy. David is a warrior. I mean, he is a beast of a man. The kind of guy that likes to get in a barroom fight. All right, that's David. Not Solomon. All right. What's that? You have a name?
Like Joshua.
Right, like Joshua. Right. Or Caleb. Same kind of idea. All right, let's go back to our handout. So we read in the scripture where Solomon moved to establish his hold on his government. Let's go, Kyrie. Pick up one of Solomon's earliest.
Yes, sir. One of Solomon's earliest recorded acts as king was to go to the high place at Gibeon and sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings. On the following night, the Lord appeared to the king in a dream, asking as to his fondest wish. Solomon asked for wisdom to judge Israel, and God was pleased with the request. Israel's king was given his wish, along with the gifts of long life, riches, and fame. In time, Israel held Solomon in high esteem for the wisdom God gave him.
All right, very good. Diane, pick up with government. Yes, ma'am. Nice and loud.
The government, David's support, had thought about a union of his 12 tribes. The Solomon established an organized state with many officials to help him. The entire country was divided into 12 major districts. Each district was to ensure the provisions of the king's court for 1 month each year. The system was equitable and designed to distribute the tax burden over the entire country.
All right, turn your Bibles to chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4. First Kings chapter 4. King Solomon was king over Israel, and all these were his officials. Now notice in particular, we're going to get a list of officials. So we have a man who's very wise and is organizing things in a significant way. Verse 7. Solomon had 12 officers over Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each man had to make provision for 1 month a year. There were the names. And now notice in particular the names are listed. The names are listed for you there, and they continue throughout verse number 17, verse 18, verse 19. What are these guys doing, these 12 guys? What is their job? What's their job, Kyrie?
Balance out the taxes.
Okay, and you're responsible for January. And what's that? You are responsible for January. Ty is responsible for February. Mr. Kaiser has March. Okay, Nathan, you pick up April. And aren't you all supposed to leave?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead and be dismissed.
Well,
no, I don't know. Just go. If you have to go, go. I don't want to.
Well, I don't
want to
go if I'm hungry.
Okay. All right. Well, if you need to go, go. So we were at. Who did you have?
January.
And you had what?
January.
And you had?
March.
March. And you're sick. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's going to work better.
Okay, Miles, you pick up March because he's sick. What do these guys do? They make sure that I, as the King Jack, I eat well. Everything that we eat in the month of January. What I eat, what I drink, what my wives eat, what their grandchildren eat, what my cows, my king, my horses, my chariots, everything he provides. From where? From a particular district in the land. So we take, for lack of better illustration, grab Israel, and it's huge. It's huge. It's well past the 12 tribes. Remember the 12 tribes that we took over when we were there, the smaller Israel. David has expanded it. It's huge. This is the Mediterranean Sea. This is as far as the Euphrates up into Iran. This is all the way down to Egypt. We take it, we go like this. That's half. I'm just drawing lines just as a point of illustration. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay? And basically, Kyrie, this is your area. Right here. And your job is to make sure that all the corn, all the barley, all the grapes, all the figs, all the dates, all the straw, everything that we need for the month of January to keep the palace going is provided by you. And that's your job. You stockpile it, you raise it, you grow it, you get it from the people of this land. You are a tax collector. And then Dylan, you pick up this area, and Jack, you got this down here, and you're the king's representative. And your job is to make sure that we eat well at whatever month it is. That's your job. Now remember, what did Samuel tell the people when they wanted a king? Miles, what did Samuel tell the people when they wanted a king?
You don't need one? Like,
yeah, but why don't you need one?
Because they're going to take...
What kind of stuff?
You can take your men from war.
You can take your men, what? Your tax. And this is it. They're living it now. They're living it. Because remember, we went from Saul, who was the first king. Do you think he had a big palace?
No.
Now we're at Solomon. And Solomon's got a huge palace. The numbers is startling when we start reading this stuff. 20,000 horses. Just unbelievable numbers. Just astronomical. Well, where does that come from?
The people.
Let's do Solomon the Builder. Kyrie, pick it up with Solomon the Builder on our handout.
Yes, sir.
And our handout is coming to us from the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. Pick it up.
Solomon the Builder. One of Solomon's earliest building attempts was to construct the temple. David had it on his heart to build the temple, but the task was left to Solomon, the man of peace. Hiram, the king of Tyre, provided cedar trees from Mount Lebanon for the temple, and in return he was given an appropriate amount of cedar. In order to provide the necessary labor for these building projects, the Canaanites became slaves. Israel is likewise were
compelled.
Compelled to work and labor for these building projects. The Canaanites became...
You're really struggling today. Let's try it again, okay? What we're going to do is, as we're reading, we're going to drop to the sentence below. We're going to continue to try it again.
Israelis likewise were compelled to work in groups of 10,000 on every third month. The workers for the temple alone comprised 80,000 stone cutters, 70,000 common laborers, and 3,600 foremen. It took 7 years to finish the temple, but by modern comparison, was rather small building feat, 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Nevertheless, the gold covering for both walls and furniture made it quite expensive. In the 11th year of Solomon's reign, the dedication of the temple was celebrated in a great
convocation.
The presence of the Lord filled the temple, and Solomon then offered a great dedicatory prayer.
Dedicatory
prayer. Marking it as one of the great peaks of his devotion to the Lord. Afterward, he offered up 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, as well as other offerings. And
did you hear those numbers? 120,000 sheep? All right, keep reading.
And the people were full of joy because David had such a great successor.
Pick it up.
Solomon built other buildings. The house of the forest of Lebanon. The house, the hall of pillars, and the hall for his throne, and a house of the daughter of Pharaoh. 13 years were involved in the building of his own house, large enough to take care of his wives and concubines, as well as his servants. A great fortress was also built. Millo was used to protect the temple, as well as other store and fortified cities.
All right, Justin, pick it up.
The king would have an agreement with Hiram, king of Tyre. to pay yearly for cedar trees, stonecutters, and other buildings, 125,000 bushels of wheat, and 115,000 gallons of olive oil. In addition, Aaron received 20 cities in Galilee to cover all indebtedness. All
right, stop for a minute. How do I get olive oil?
You press olive.
Right, you press olives. How many olives do you have to press in order to get a gallon? How many olives do you have to press in order to get 120,000 gallons? Do you have any idea of the workforce that we're dealing with here? I mean, how big is an olive? Is it as big as my thumb?
Maybe.
Okay.
All
right. And how much oil are you going to get out of a single olive?
Not fairly.
You know, how many do you have to push or press to get a gallon? I'm just trying to give you an understanding of the scope. How many vineyards did he have? How big were his gardens? How many places all over the country? All they did is they worked for the king. Keep reading.
Contrary to the instruction not to trade with horses, Solomon bought horses and chariots from the Egyptians, and some of these in turn were sold to the Hittites and Arameans at a profit.
Okay, they were sold to them for a profit. Now, how is that going to come back and bite them?
The people can attack them with the horses they give them.
Can you imagine how frustrating that's going to be?
Like,
the very horses that you sold them are going to become the horses that the enemy ride on to attack you? Keep reading.
Furthermore, Solomon carried on trade on high seas. Ships built at shipyards at Ezion Geber, sailed the points on the Red Sea and Indian Ocean. Once in 3 years, the mariners collected gold, ivory, and peacocks from Ophir. The traders brought back 420 pounds of gold, a considerable fortune.
All right. Someone else? Jacob.
Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Most of the book of Proverbs is attributed to him.
Attributed to him?
Attributed to him. As well as Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Psalm 72 and 127. His obituary notice mentions his literary accomplishment in the book of that.
What is an obituary notice? What's an obituary notice? What is that? What does that mean?
That's a death.
This is all your accomplishments. This is where we go back and remember you. If you died now, DeMarcus, next week in a terrible, tragic car accident, we talk about you, a basketball player. We talk about everything that you'd accomplished, all your friends, and your. That's what this is. All right, keep reading.
The Queen of Sheba came to see and hear if the fame and wisdom of Solomon was correct. After viewing all he had in Jerusalem and hearing his wisdom, her final response is a blessing to the Lord God of Israel, who raised up such a wise person to sit upon such a magnificent throne.
All right, Miles, pick it up.
Solomon made many misjudgments during his reign, and one of them was his excessive taxation of the people.
Make sure you underline that. You're going to need to know that.
His worst blunder was adding more and more wives to his harem, accommodating their religious preferences with pagan shrines. The Lord plagued Solomon, preventing Israel to be attacked on all sides. Although the kingdom was not withdrawn from Solomon, his son experienced his division. There is no record that Solomon repented, but it is quite possible that the book of Ecclesiastes does reveal his realization of his wrong decisions.
Okay, does anyone have any idea what we're talking about in the book of Ecclesiastes? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Okay, well, if you need some extra credit, and you could use a good score on something, bring me to class on Tuesday on a piece of paper what you think that's making reference to. And I'll make sure it helps your grade. Put your name on it. Put down Ecclesiastes on there. Because if you look at Ecclesiastes, it'll be very easy for you to find what the author is making reference to. So let us review for just a moment. Give me one thing that Solomon is known for.
Wisdom.
All right, pick it up, Mr. Peavy. His what?
Good things or bad things?
Either one.
Wisdom.
Women, and that's a good or a bad thing?
Bad.
Bad, and why is it a bad thing? What did he do?
What did he do for them?
Say it a little bit louder, please.
He accommodated their religious preferences.
Yeah, he accommodated their religious preferences. And what were they? They were idolaters, and so he brought idolatry in. All right, another one, China. Yeah, he is absolutely known for the temple and the great temple. Brandon.
Wealthy.
Yes, money beyond measure. What else? How about a bad thing? Where did all that money come from?
That was my...
What, Ty?
How's my next...
Taxation. Taxation. So the negative is clearly women. The negative is taxation. Justin.
He's like known for peace.
Yeah, he's definitely known for peace. He was not a warrior in that sense.
His huge workforce.
Yeah, his amazing workforce. He's building everywhere. He's known for a trader. He's known for commerce. How long did he reign for?
40 years.
40 years. 40 years. Okay? Books in the Bible that he's known for writing. Give me one.
Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon. Give me another one. Proverbs. Give me a third. Ecclesiastes. And then two Psalms are recorded for him as well. So we're dealing with a very talented individual. Any questions about Solomon? Any questions? All right, Miles, reach up and turn the mic off, please. Or Kyle, we need one.